You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey, hey, hey! Hello, happy and hearty, hella helpful, hydrocarbon-based humorists and huggable hounds. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 153, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your tricky but truly trustworthy troop traveling by trolley trying a treasure trove of trivia trapped in a tryst-eating Triscuit.
Oh my goodness.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. Listener submitted.
Yeah, it had to be. It was very good.
We're establishing a dangerous precedent. Intro is going to be a third of the show eventually.
Great.
Yeah,
thank you guys.
Yeah.
We have so much confidence.
No, yours are also good, but that one
it was like positive.
There were no negative slams on us.
We missed all of you, listeners, and hi, you guys. We haven't recorded in a while.
No,
it has been a while.
We did trivia though.
Yeah.
That's sort of like a Good Job Brain recording that's only for us.
Yeah. That's true. Just us. Lots of catching up. I know our schedule was kind of wonky, and it's a lot of things going on. Chris, you just moved to a new house.
Yep.
That we're sitting in.
Which we're in. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Colin just got back from Hawaii.
That was great. It was my first trip to Hawaii. Never been there. And I had an awesome time doing nothing productive.
Yeah.
And that's the state model.
Have an awesome time doing nothing productive.
And then Dana's engaged.
That's right.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
They said it couldn't be done.
All the leading Dana scientists. They proved them wrong. That's
right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats. The listeners of our show have witnessed many life events.
Yeah.
Just over, 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of things have happened.
Yeah. We're growing. This is like adult puberty all over again.
Mm-hmm. Adult.
We're changing. Yeah. We're becoming real adults now.
We're evolving.
Collectively.
Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Hair where there was no hair before.
And then actually the... Ew.
In this case, it's like inside my ears and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. White hairs.
Right.
And coming out of moles and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Great.
Actually, the alliteration from before that you guys were so into was written by Michael from Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh.
Whom I met. I don't know if you guys, if the people who follow me on social media know that I'm trying to run 50 marathons in 50 different states. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess there are only 50.
One in each. Just to clarify.
Yeah. Not like, 49 in California.
Fortunately, as it turns out, there are 50 states. Yeah.
So that kind of works out. So I came back a couple of weeks ago. I was in Connecticut running the Nutmeg State Marathon. Michael and his daughter Katie invited me out to a pub trivia.
Awesome. Yeah.
We didn't win.
I was going to ask. Oh, okay.
But,
is it intense?
So here's my problem. It has like a, it's not like our trivia, and I think Colin, you'll hate this because you're a purist. It's a wagering system.
Oh,
and so you can answer only a couple, right? But if you wager the right way, then you can totally win.
You decide how you want to weight your answers.
Exactly.
Okay, I've heard of there are definitely trivia leagues that work that way.
Yeah. You wager before or after you hear the question.
So you wager question by question. So in one round, there's like 5 questions.
Okay.
And you have the option of weighting it with 1, 3, 5, 7, or 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, after each question, you decide what number you want to weight it with.
That would be in our favor, I would think. Because when we're sure, we're pretty sure.
But then at the end, there's kind of like a Final Jeopardy one. And it's do you bet it all?
Oh.
Yeah, and that kind of...
The other part of it is you need to take into account what do other people know. It's not just how confident am I. It's if I'm confident I got it right, but everybody else is going to get it right. You know, that's different than if I think I'm the only one who's going to get it.
Yeah. So for example, I mean, I think we did in terms of like getting correct number of answers, we got a lot correct or most correct.
Okay.
And the last question was a sports question.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to wager before you.
But they tell you, like Final Jeopardy, they tell you the category.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like.
So you wagered nothing, I'm guessing.
Wagered just enough to cover the next team, the team, just in case. And didn't work. It was like name 7 of the 10 decathlon, the Greek decathlon activities, track and field activities.
Okay. Right.
Which we actually did get it right, but you know, it's when you say sports, I'm just thinking like, oh, it's gonna be something a sports team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
But yeah, so that was my jaunt to Connecticut.
Hmm. Fun.
Cool. Which state is that out of the 50?
What? That is state number 6.
Okay. All right, so near the beginning of the journey.
Yeah, 44 to go.
You also went to New Haven.
I went to New Haven,
a suburb of which I am from.
Yes.
And you ate the most famous New Haven pizza of
all. Oh, is it most famous?
That is the Pepe's.
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 I keep calling it Pepe Pizza.
Pepe. Frank Pepe, the original Frank Pepe.
You guys didn't believe me. Like, New Haven pizza is a different type of pizza.
Well, what do you mean we didn't believe you?
I believe you.
It's pizza. It's the bread, the crust.
It's the cracker type one, right?
No, just tomato sauce.
That's
pizza. A plain pizza.
Plain pizza. There's no cheese. It's just marinara sauce.
But of course, I mean, they'll put cheese on the pizza.
Like a focaccia.
And most people do.
Yeah, it's like bread with sauce. And then you can put Parmesan cheese.
Well, it's pizza dough.
Yeah, it's pizza dough. Yeah.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, because that was how it was done originally. A plain pie was the tomato pie was the pizza dough and the sauce and then sprinkle of Parmesan cheese or on the top. Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was super tasty.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I went to the Pez Factory, too. That was close by.
Mm-hmm. Did you get anything?
They had a scavenger hunt, so I was all into that. but it was really cool. History of Pez. They have, like, just the Japanese versions of Pez. The original Pez from, you know, like, the different designs. Disney license. The Marvel license. Very cool.
Cool.
And also, with all of this, and I'm sad to say that, you know, one of the reasons why our podcast, our new episodes keep getting delayed or recording delayed is, you know, all of our schedules and stuff going on. And also, my dog died and it was sad, but I know that you guys saw on my Facebook and Twitter. Thank you guys for all your, heartwarming and heartfelt, words. Our whole pub trivia team is named after him. And he was a cool dog.
He was the mascot of everything.
Yeah. He was our mascot.
Which is funny because he was your second dog, you know, like Cisco like has all his stuff together, you know? Like he's very confident.
Yeah, yeah, he's a personality already.
Otis, your heart just goes out to him.
Yeah. Because
he was always so like
so meek.
He was so sad. he was just so happy to see you, you know. Like he's like, are you really?
Do you really love me?
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
He goes to the vet and he's like, hi friend. You know how like you know, whereas Cisco, like, you know, smarter dogs are like, I don't like this place.
Right.
They stick stuff in you.
Yep.
Whereas Otis is so dumb, he's just like, hello.
Any contact.
Yeah. What's this in my butt? That means, that's cool.
Sure is a funny feeling.
He's such a good dog. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why it's delayed. I was trying to, I mean, I was getting, I'm still grieving. I'm still mourning. It's very sad. But, well, hopefully from now on, we, with all of our traveling kind of done, or hopefully we'll be on a normal schedule soon. And also, shout out to our very, very patient and very awesome sponsors who obviously, you know, haven't gotten a new episode with ads in it. So I apologize.
Yeah.
So the whole episode is ads for the next 30 minutes.
I was pondering about that. I was like, should I just combine one big thing? No. But like relatedly, one of the questions I get a lot, and I don't really feel that comfortable talking about it. I'm not comfortable, but it's weird. A lot of people ask us, how do I support you guys? How do I donate money? One person in particular wrote, like, how come you don't talk about your Patreon page? Because it seems like, I guess, other podcasts.
They do.
They do talk about donations or supporting. I don't know.
It's so we have a Patreon page.
We do have a Patreon page.
We'll happily take your money.
Yeah.
Sure.
You can $1 a month.
Yeah.
and then you can support us that way.
We think about doing cool stuff all the time.
We're going to, as soon as we shift from like thinking about doing cool stuff into actually doing cool stuff mode, maybe we'll start pushing the Patreon page a little bit
more. That's true.
I think it's going to happen.
We want to make sure
we still want to do a live show. Yeah, like a live show in San Francisco.
Live show, yep.
Yeah. Also going to the East Coast. You can also support us by checking out our wonderful sponsor, Squarespace, Audible, which is our other big sponsor, Warby Parker. Obviously, a lot of the codes and links are going to be in this post. So check it out and help us out. All right. So much stuff. This episode is going to be long because we have a lot of housekeeping, I guess. But it's good housekeeping. We have a mailbox surprise here. I have a book. It's called Poopendous. The deck line is the inside scoop on every type of use of poop. This is a book, a children's book, sent to us by Lacey. So thank you so much, Lacey, for this wonderful book about fecal matter.
Yeah.
You know, for kids.
Yeah. Okay, another segment. In the news, bizarre headlines. Chris, you're going to be happy about this.
Am I?
Do you remember egg corn? Do you guys remember what
of
an
course.
Egg corn is?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
It's a misheard word, like when you think that Alzheimer's disease is old-timer's disease.
Misheard word, but like a
misheard word, but in a...
It kind of makes
like
sense.
In a way that sort of makes sense.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like
old-timer's disease. Right, you know, it makes total sense.
So the word egg corn made it into the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Congratulations, it is now an official word.
And the word itself is an egg corn for acorn.
Acorn.
There are people who call what some people call an acorn, some people call an egg corn. I'm not going to make any judgment here. Right. Yes.
The dictionary.
Yeah.
Similar, but not identical to, as we discussed, the Mondegreen, which is a misheard song lyric or a misheard line of poetry.
Yeah. So another fun egg corn is a. When you're saying something is jaw-droppingly good, people say jar.
Jar-dropping.
Because it's so good, you drop the jar.
I have not heard that one. I haven't heard that one. That's good. Yeah.
I always send you guys ones that I find on the internet.
Yes, you find a lot on the internet.
I read a lot of forums and things like that.
People
do it. A lot of things. And you see something, and you know it's not a typo. You know it's an egg corn. Like, you know that person... has like back solved a word.
It is. It's
they
back
really,
solving.
They think that this is what it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment. Pop quiz. Hot shot.
It's been a long time.
Did you bring the trivia cards?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because that was really good.
I don't remember how to work this buzzer, you guys.
What do I do?
I do something with it.
You pull it up.
Yeah, naturally. I twist it.
Right. You pull it up and it
you
says
pop it.
And then it says the name of an animal.
Yeah. And you guys have your barnyard buzzers, and here I have a random assortment of Trivial Pursuit card from various versions of Trivial Pursuit.
Mm-hmm. Randomizer?
Yeah.
The Karen Randomizer.
Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle.
Baby boomer.
Okay.
Oh, snap. All right, here we go.
All right. Baby boomer trivia pursuit. Wow. So what is baby boomer is a generation, right?
Yeah.
Post-World War II.
Yes. Until when?
I mean, just in those years, like in that, you know, decade
50s,
plus.
50s, 60s.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Here we go. TV.
All right.
Blue Wedge. Who was Alan Brady's only female writer?
What?
Colin.
It was Mary Tyler Moore, but I don't remember the character's name.
Oh.
I think. That's as far as I can get.
I can't tell you.
Mary something, yeah.
It is Sally Rogers.
Sure.
I still have no idea what show
this is. I don't know what that means. Yes. Yeah.
Whoops. Well, okay. Random.
All right.
Okay, looks like I was wrong. That was Rosemary, not Mary Tyler Moore. Rosemary played Sally Rogers.
Okay.
I had the show right. It was a Dick Van Dyke show. It was on Dick Van Dyke show. I at least had the TV show right.
Wow, they don't even... Yeah, well, sure. Okay. All right, sure. Pink Wedge, Ford, SS, I don't know what that stands for, but here we go.
That was the Hitler's guard, I believe.
What comic had the second best-selling album of 1960?
Second wow. best-selling of 1960.
Comic as in comedian.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Colin.
Lenny Bruce.
Incorrect. Chris Kohler.
Bill Cosby.
Incorrect.
Ooh. Steve Martin.
Incorrect.
Not it too is early.
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart. Nice.
I thought it meant like comic strip, and I was like, I have like the Archies, like because they had a song.
They were into comedy albums then.
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. All right. Next wedge. Yellow. Was Joseph McCarthy a Democrat or a Republican?
Oh, interesting.
Hmm. I'm going to say he was a Republican.
What do you guys say?
I think he was a Republican.
There was like a flip of the party.
Yeah,
the
I know. Alignments,
but I think it happened earlier. I'll say Republican.
He is a Republican.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Tan wedge, brown wedge for publishing. Whose years in the White House corridors were chronicled in Seymour Hersh's 1983 book, The Price of Power?
Oh.
Chris.
Richard Nixon.
Incorrect. Dana.
Kennedy.
Incorrect.
LBJ.
Incorrect. Not a president.
What? Wait, okay, so
Checkers the dog.
Yeah, whose years in the White House
corridors were chronicled in Seymour Hersh's
1983 book,
The Price of Power?
Henry Kissinger.
Correct!
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Not a president. Smart.
Yeah, all right. Green wedge for literature. I think, or Latin. LT.
One or the other.
What word made up of the Latin for water and the Greek for sailor made its first appearance in the 1960s?
Aquamarine.
Incorrect.
Mm.
Really?
That was a good guess.
The Latin for water, which aqua, we all agree is aqua,
yes.
And the Greek for sailor,
yes.
As in S-A-I-L-O-R.
Yes.
So think about navigation, maybe.
Dana.
Never mind.
It is aquanaut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
No. I don't think I've ever
heard
even
that word.
Yeah.
It also made its last appearance.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting word. It makes sense. And like cosmonaut.
Yeah.
But aquanaut.
Yeah.
Is it a sailor?
Is what it was like Jacques Cousteau?
I would imagine. Yeah. Like subsurface water, like, exploration.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Last question on Baby Boomer Trivia Pursuit. Orange Wedge. What tower was climbed in the Beatles song, I Am the Walrus? Everybody.
The Eiffel Tower.
Correct! Oh. Awesome. Oh, not bad.
Good card.
Yeah. We were not very good at that card.
but better than what I thought we
It could have been worse.
Could have been worse.
So we've done some kind of esoteric shows, but now I think it's time to talk about the source.
The element.
Of all life itself.
Really?
The thing without... Well, yeah, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The sun makes the plants, and we eat the plants. Everywhere the light touches. Except for the elephant graveyard. For this episode, we're getting back to basic.
Yes, this week we're going to talk about light. So, guys, let there be light!
Up in my, as you know, I collect video games. Did you guys know that?
Oh, yes.
A lot of them, you know, it's hard to escape. In my parents' attic, there's a whole bunch of them. And at one point, and they've all just been sitting there because I moved out a long time ago. I've been trying to get some out, but you know how it is.
Yeah.
We've all got stuff in our parents' places.
Free storage.
Yeah. 3,000 miles away. My dad replaced the incandescent light bulb in the attic with a compact fluorescent light bulb. Now, this is great, you know, uses less energy, and in fact, you can and should just leave it on all the time, because it uses less energy if you just leave it on
versus
turning it on and off. Right. What did not kind of hit me until it was too late was that I had a couple of things, including some paper that was sitting there up at the top of the attic steps, and it had a fluorescent UV pumping light bulb pumping light onto them 24/7 for years. And I went up, and it was like a store display for a video game system with like pieces of paper inserted into it. Uh-huh. And I look at the paper, and it is disintegrating.
Oh man!
What? Around the margins, it is disappearing. Oh, man. Because of
not just like
shining.
A changing constant. A color or anything. It
not,
is.
I mean, it was fading, but it was also it was actually disintegrating.
Whoa!
Yeah, that is what light can do. We think of light as like, oh, you know, I just lit the room up. It's like, no, you're bombarding the room with low level radiation. You know, you're bombarding the room with particles. You know, that's why you can't go into a museum and like take a flash photograph of the Mona Lisa.
Oh!
Because the effect of everybody taking a flash photo.
It's just going to hasten the demise.
Karen has an I've done this.
No,
look
no,
on her
I
face.
Just didn't know.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, no, the flash photos.
The sign.
If
yeah.
everyone, if so everybody, you know, all day, every day was just aiming their flash at the Mona Lisa and going, shh, I mean, the Mona Lisa would start to fall apart.
Yeah. And the low lighting in galleries is more than just for setting the mood. It's also,
right.
Yeah.
Right. True or false? It is possible to prevent paintings and photos and such from fading, deteriorating by using low amounts of light. True or false?
To prevent?
Prevent.
I'll say
stop.
No. I'll say false.
False.
False. False. Totally false. All light is constantly photodegrading everything. it's just a matter, if you're a museum, of having it degrade as slowly as
and
possible.
Controlled.
There are certain parts of certain molecules that give that molecule whatever color it's going to have.
Yeah.
And this is called a chromophore. It's not the actual, like, atoms and stuff in the molecule. It's not what it's made up of. It's the structure. It's the way that the atoms are kind of joined together. And importantly, like, where do the electrons have to go within that molecule? Because a molecule can have a ground state and an excited state. Right. The ground state is when it's just like, hey, what's up? And the excited state, it's still the same molecule. It's still the same thing. But the electrons are jumping around a little bit. They're moving.
Jumping up and down. And,
yep.
Yeah.
The molecule is now at a molecule party.
Okay.
He's still the same guy.
The same dude, man.
Who was just flipping burgers at his 9-to-5. But now he's at a molecule party. Things are, yeah. So depending on how the molecule is structured and where the electrons are and where they have to go, when they get hit with photons, they will absorb some of that energy. Mm-hmm. But they will not absorb all of it in most cases, and it will reflect some of it back. Mm-hmm. And if that energy, if that radiation is in the visible light spectrum,
you see
that color that gets reflected. But the way that we're talking about this here, as we learned in college, you cannot just go out and party every night. Like, you will start doing permanent damage to yourself.
Okay.
And that is what happens. Like, you can't just get molecules all excited and reflecting photons
all the time
because they'll start changing their shapes. They'll start bumping into each other and they might start changing their structures. And as soon as the molecules start changing their structures, now they reflect color in a different way, and they start changing their color.
They're hungover.
Yes. Mm-hmm. For the rest of their lives. And we see fading because sometimes what happens is the thing in a yellow painting that gives it its yellowness will start to fade away.
Yeah.
Because the molecules are changing shape and they're not giving off that bright yellow anymore.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
So back in your attic, mm-hmm. it's that CFL light bulb that keeps exciting or shining photons onto the actual molecules of the poster or of what gives the poster the color.
Yeah.
And then it just, that excitement just,
and it starts to lose the grip of the, and it starts to change what types of colors it reflects back at you. What you really want to avoid is, of course, UV light or sunlight. Like, you can have your lights in your house on with your books and things like that, but if you have direct sunlight on them, in addition to, you know, possibly heating them up, which you don't want to do either, UV radiation is... The wavelength is smaller, so there's more energy.
Yeah.
And it gets them even more excited. It gets them a little too excited. You can go up from there into, like, bombarding your objects with X-rays, which would be a terrible idea. Or gamma rays, which would...
really brings the value of your collectibles down.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about, like, especially plant matter, like paper or leather or animal matter, like, then it will start to disintegrate. Then it will start to cleave and break up, and the molecules will when it disintegrates, it's like those paper molecules are breaking up, and then you have free atoms, and they're looking for other things to bond with, and they'll bond with something in the air
and fly away.
Come back. Yep. Sometimes the reaction is not fading. It kind of depends on like what the substance is. Vincent van Gogh's famous sunflower paintings are not fading, but they're turning brown because the sunlight is oxidizing the pigments.
Who's putting it in the sun?
Well, I mean, it just happens. There's UV everywhere. You can't completely. You can put them in a pitch black room forever,
but no one.
But then why have the painting? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that's the issue. It's like if you're running a museum, you have to worry about this. Like if you put everything into a pitch black room, great, congratulations. You know, it'll never deteriorate. But the idea is, art needs to be appreciated. You need to actually show it to people. So it's a losing battle.
If you can
on a long
see it,
time frame.
It's deteriorating.
So,
yep. Yep.
So what happened to your collectible?
I put it into a box.
Oh, okay.
It's still deteriorating, but you know, I mean, it's in a box now.
With my Van Goghs.
Yeah.
That no one will.
Yeah.
No one will see.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. So I'm going to talk about black, which is a funny thing to talk about in a show about light because black is often known as, what, the absence of color.
The opposite.
It also, in physics, is the complete absorption of light.
Indeed.
There is a new material. It was discovered in 2008. It's called Vanta Black.
Oh.
And it...
Vanta?
Vanta.
V-A-N-T-A.
Stands for Vertically Aligned Nanotube Array.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, it's an acronym.
Yes.
Carbon right. Nanotubes?
Acronym or abbreviation?
Acronym.
Yes.
Vanta Black.
Not Fanta.
No.
Right.
And it absorbs almost all light. It is the closest thing we have to actual black.
Wow.
And it's new. And it's new because it couldn't have existed before.
Oh.
They basically have to grow it in a laboratory. It's made of carbon nanotubes. They grow it on aluminum foil. And they grow these tiny little tubes.
You actually grow?
You grow it. Yes, and it's super densely packed. There's no space between them. They're nanotubes. So they're, that's 1/1,000,000th of a millimeter. That's how small they are. They're tiny and they're tubes. So they absorb all the light. Mm. When you wrinkle a piece of paper, you can see all the shades and shadows and the reflection
all
of the
light.
You wrinkle this or you try to crumple this up.
You can't
there
see
are
it.
No. Wow. Wrinkles. You
oh
can't
my,
see
I
it.
I can't even think about this.
Yeah, wow. It's like, it blows your mind. There are videos of it. I highly recommend watching some videos. It just looks the same
whether it's flat or wrinkled.
Is it like a sheet of paper? What is it?
It kind of looks like it would be spongy a little bit. It's a little bit thick because they're, yeah.
Wow.
So they use them for military and NASA.
Of course.
So it's great for masking things because it absorbs all light. You can't see it. It's like the closest thing we have to maybe being invisible from somewhere else. But you could totally see it, but
so
like,
it doesn't pick it up. Visibility.
They put it in NASA telescopes because it absorbs all the light. And it,
it removes all the distortion from the light going into the telescope, so you can get the crystal clear pictures.
So you get only the light
it's
want.
It's like 10 times clearer than anything they've had before.
Wow.
Guys, this is weird.
It's like looking into a black hole, some people say.
It's like, I feel like everything's being censored. You know, there's like a black bar on everything. It's just...
If you look at an image of it, it looks like somebody went into Photoshop
and
cut out that whole part of the image,
right?
And then just hit delete.
Yeah, because there's no light.
Because it doesn't reflect anything back to the camera.
So right. If you made like a little black dress out of this, you would look like a 2D character because there are no shapes.
There's no contour, no highlights. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, that's amazing. I want to try that.
What do you mean grow? Like...
They build them up like a molecular level.
Just imagine a hot glue gun, except for it spits out individual carbon molecules.
Vantablack. Wait, what does Vanta stand for again?
Vertically aligned nanotube array. So they're all little tubes standing up.
Oh, they're standing up, not lying down. Okay, yeah. I was thinking they're lying down, like pickup sticks. No, this is like
little forest, like little trees.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they absorb 99.96% of all light, the darkest material we've made so far.
Oh my God, that's weird.
We're getting so close.
We're getting so close. Come on, people, we can do this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, early on, it's like, well, we got these mirrors down pretty good. We're going to be reflecting all the light. How hard could it be to go the other direction?
Right.
Really hard.
Really hard. Wow. Yeah. Well, speaking of blackness and darkness, in this light episode, I want to talk about two things, but they're combined by my fascination with things that glow in the dark. That you call glow in the dark. Mm. And so let me ask you guys, obviously growing up, you guys had toys, glow worms or, when you have a toy that's glow in the dark, what is the first thing you do? You have to do.
You hold it under a light to charge it.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
The first thing you have to do is charge them.
Yeah.
And it's something like you just grow up and you're not like, yeah, in order for it to like you glow in the dark, you gotta charge it. Yeah. So you like shine a flashlight on it.
Yeah. Which is what you're doing, right?
It actually is really is charging. So glow in the dark, I'm talking about the things we see in toys.
That like, classic kind of greenish, yellowish.
Yeah, the kind of snot color looking thing. Yeah. How does it work? Well, this is a type of phosphor, which is a substance that has luminescence. And what happens is, what Chris said earlier, you have light shining on it and it gets energized. And so this material then will get excited and slowly kind of calm down. And as it calms down, light is given off. And that's why the glow-in-the-dark toys like last, you know,
half an hour to an hour.
The molecules calming down,
like slowly
coming,
exhaling.
Yeah.
Doing the walk of shame.
Yeah, it is. Back to home.
I distinctly remember being on like a camping trip with another family, and the youngest kid there was this other family's son, and we had glow sticks, and he ate one he bit into a glow stick and got all of the goo like in his mouth.
Oh no.
So like he had it all in his mouth and his like mouth was glowing. It was pretty awesome.
So that actually is a different type of glow in the dark.
Oh, it is.
It is. So glow stick
you don't need
glow
to charge.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You crack them.
So that's a chemical luminescence where it's a chemical reaction. Whereas this phosphorescence is you charge the actual molecules.
Also, importantly, don't eat.
Don't do that.
No.
It's so dangerous.
It's non-toxic, but...
Oh, is it non-toxic?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, now I want some.
Yeah. But don't do it.
That's Dana's scale, is either toxic or I want some.
That's true.
So I've been trying to find, I was going through like patent libraries. I was trying to read up like what was the first glow in the dark toy? I couldn't find anything.
Really?
Like I found like when they isolated this type of chemical, but nothing like where you probably put it into toy use. However, back in the day, there were toys that were radioactive.
Yeah.
So they glow in the dark, but like it's not the same glow in the dark.
Sure. They're also slowly poisoning you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like playing with the mercury, the quicksilver.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then people's toys are really weird. In another example of glow in the dark, I also want to enlighten people with.
we see what you did there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or fireflies, bioluminescence. Actually, a lot of things in nature do glow in the dark, but definitely firefly is that iconic. Like, how is this alive thing glowing?
It's like magic.
And it's like light, and it's weird. And how it glows is actually a chemical reaction. There is an enzyme called luciferase, like Lucifer, which actually I didn't know. Lucifer stands for holding light. Yeah, for fireflies in their bellies. They have luciferase, which is a type of enzyme. And through a chemical reaction, that's how their bellies glow. And here's a fun, weird fact. There is a Baroque painter, Caravaggio. Mm-hmm. Is he famous?
Yeah, he's famous. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Caravaggio, rumor has it. They say that as if it's like a tabloid. Rumor has it, he prepped his canvases with crushed powder of dried fireflies so that the surface is photosensitive. And then he can project the image that he's going to paint onto it.
He was cheating.
Kind of.
Totally
cheating.
Yeah, by the rules of painting.
He was that tracing.
I have not heard that. That's
movie,
cool.
Tim's Vermeer.
Yeah.
The guy who copied some Vermeer paintings by kind of like hypothesizing that Vermeer did not just sit down and do the paintings. Like, he actually used a method of like taking real life and projecting it via a system of mirrors onto a surface so that you could paint it, you know, perfectly accurately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
David Hockney has also done a lot of stuff on like the reverse engineering. Yeah. The Vermeer practices. Yeah.
So do you count that as cheating?
I personally know. No,
why wouldn't you use technology to try to create
or crush fireflies?
Yeah,
in this case, a lot of dead fireflies.
How many fireflies did he have to crush to cover a whole camp?
So many.
It's still a rumor, but still, that's a lot. They're tiny.
We had fireflies in Connecticut, so like if you catch a firefly and like, you know, you crush it
you get all the
glow in the dark stuff would all be on your hands.
It's so easy to crush, I'll tell you. Like, when I went to visit my mom's family.
You
want to
kill a firefly?
We tried to catch them in a butter dish, and then like the lid would come down on one of them, and you feel bad, and then it just kept happening because they're stupid. They're stupid.
You're so dumb.
You don't feel as bad.
I was a teenager before I saw a firefly or a glow bug of any. I mean, they didn't have them where I grew up, and I mean, I see them in all these stories and movies and things.
Yeah,
and
it really
it just seemed like magic.
Luciferase is actually really interesting because not only does it help fireflies mate and attract prey, I mean, that's kind of why they light up. Scientists have been using luciferase in many, many awesome uses, including when they do a lot of studying of cell populations. They would inject cells or the cells that you want to monitor with this enzyme. So it's non-invasive and you can see how the population of the cell is moving, and it's not, you know, it's not killing the animal. You can see it without dissecting an animal. Usually it's mice that they're using it. Also, they have successfully engineered many, many animals that can glow in the dark using this, including pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Taiwan has 3 awesome glow in the dark pigs. I think there's a beagle. Somewhere.
Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah, and a tobacco plant that also glows in the dark, which is nothing really compared to like a beagle and pigs.
Glow in the dark beagle.
I think the glow in the dark pig is my favorite.
Yeah. And they're pretty. I mean, they seem pretty. Like nothing's weird about them.
Yeah, the pig's like, can't sleep very well, man. It's so bright. Yeah.
I think glow in the dark pigs may have been an action figure in the 1980s.
Some glow pigs. Well, actually, there is. I was looking at the toys, and I saw one that I thought of you, Chris.
It's,
Glow Scare.
Scare Glow.
Scare Glow.
Scare Glow.
You know what I'm talking about. Scare Glow.
Scare Glow. That was the Masters of the Universe skeleton that was glow in the dark.
Well, so supposedly, Scare Glow is the ghost of Skeletor.
That's how he was described, the ghost of Skeletor.
Now, but Skeletor,
nobody knows
is
if that
dead?
Means. Nobody knows if that means it's he's a ghost that's in the employ of Skeletor. Or if Skeletor actually died and that's his ghost.
Skeletor is a skeleton.
They didn't get into
it. Partially.
Yeah.
Like, he's got muscles, but a skull for a
head.
Yeah,
but Scareglow, of course, everybody had the same body in He-Man, right? So Scareglow just has a skeleton painted onto the muscle body. It made no sense. He had a cool purple cape that's very rare now.
Oh, just the cape?
Just the cape. The cape is really hard to find. So
was
got
he
that,
the only one with it?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
There's a cloth purple cape.
Wow.
If you got that cape,
they're like, we're pushing it. Gotta add something extra to this thing.
They were, well, that was one of the later release figures, so they were spending a little bit more money, you know, making it a little bit fancier. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it glows in the dark.
Yeah, right? So we know we have all been to the City Center, which is the complex they just built on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah.
With multiple hotels and buildings and residences and all kinds of things that they put there. Now, one of the hotels is called the Vidara Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
V-D-A-R-A. Vidara. Okay. I don't know. The V stands for Vegas.
Okay.
The rest is made up. It opened I'd like to buy a vowel. The hotel opened in December 2009. In the summer of 2010, the first summer at the Vidara, the guests are there, they're out by the pool, and one guest was visiting from Chicago and is sitting on his lounge chair, and he starts to feel hot. He starts to feel distressingly, uncomfortably hot. And he just like jumps up and he's like, I have to get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like a huge dummy, like running around like, ooh, it's so hot. But he walked out of there as fast as his dignity would allow.
Whoa.
And ran to the shade of the bar area out by the
and
hotel.
Just him?
And he get, yeah, just him. And he just runs in there and he's just like, what is that? What is that smell? It smells like burning hair. And he touches his head, and his hair has been burnt. His hair has been singed on the top of his head. Oh, I'll get there. And he looks at the bartender and the cocktail waitresses, and he's panicking. He's like, my hair caught on fire. And the bartender is just like, yeah, that happens. Yeah, we call it the death ray.
It's like, what?
It's like, so they're, what? So, the fancy skyscraper modern towers of the Vidara are all, of course, they're all mirrored all up the tower. And unlike most buildings, this side of the building is curved.
Nice gentle curve to it.
Nice little sloping, like so many modern skyscrapers.
Yeah.
They want to put this nice little curve on the building. And around noon time, the sun is high in the sky. It's at a point where it hits the curved windows on the Vidara. And what happens is they all reflect the sun back.
Focusing.
Because they're all curved a certain way, when they reflect the sun back, they all reflect it back to the same spot.
Oh my god!
And it concentrates the heat. And the hotel employees started calling it the death ray. Because if you're in that zone, it's gonna get really, really hot. The hotel had like plastic disposable margarita glasses they'd bring people. Those melted.
And they didn't know because this was the first summer after it opened.
It was the first summer after it opened. And
but they knew before they let that guy sit there.
That's true.
They did. They knew that. So here's the crazy. Here's where it really is crazy. There's another building now called, it's officially known as 20 Fenchurch Street. And it's in London.
Mm-hmm.
Just built. Very recognizable. It too has this crazy curved. It looks like a building in a Ren and Stimpy cartoon, where it's like, it just got all curved, rounded edges and stuff. Locals called it the walkie-talkie when it was being built. It's a huge skyscraper. Looks like a giant, like a walkie-talkie.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
just sitting in the middle of, yeah. It looks really cool. It also has a curved, mirrored surface. And as soon as the building went up, people's cars started to melt. The mirrors were just melt.
Who are these architects? Oh, or like,
no, you say architects. It's one guy. The guy is named Raphael Vignoli.
He did both buildings?
He did both of those buildings. He loves him, his curved surfaces. And
nobody Googles
he's
him.
Building death rays all one over after, the world.
Oh my god.
One after the other. And he's kind of upset because for the London building, he had suggested, he's like, okay, well, we're gonna have to put on like like aluminum fins so as to not create a death ray. They didn't do it. Like, because, you know, the architect designs the building, then he just hands it over to the developer. And they can do they're like,
we'll take it under advisement.
They took them off, and that was a bad idea. And so now they have put the aluminum fins onto it to kind of break up the sunlight and reflect it in different directions while maintaining the same look of the building. Rugs inside stores in London got burned. somebody took an egg in a frying pan just put it in the hot spot and cooked it.
Oh, for sure. If you can melt a car.
If you can melt a car, you can cook an egg.
Yeah. As the saying goes.
And so, of course, the solution for 20 Fenchurch was the aluminum fins. The solution for the Vidara is more umbrellas.
Yeah.
they just put a whole... They had already, I think, put on the building... They figured this was going to happen. They knew that this was going to be a potential problem. So they put on the building, you know, window coatings that would cause it to be less reflective or would diffuse.
More
the,
diffuse.
Yeah. Mm. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough, and the hot Vegas sun was still just making it super
but also,
hot.
I mean, in terms of, like, sun placement, that's only probably that time.
It's certain times of year and certain times of day when it's the worst. Yep. Now, you don't have to live directly in the path of a giant skyscraper to be affected by this phenomenon. More and more people are now installing what are known as low-E windows, low-emissive. They block UV rays. They send it out. Well... Guess where the UV rays go? They go to your neighbor's car or your neighbor's house. If you install this window and it's installed improperly, if it is in any way concave, it will concentrate the UV rays on
somewhere across the street.
people's like vinyl siding is melting off their house because their neighbors put in new windows. And then, like, they park their car in the driveway and the mirror falls off. And then they buy a new mirror and it falls off again because... There's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Low intensity death ray.
That's like a mystery. You're like, what? Wow,
it was,
what's going on?
For a lot of it's like, why is this happening? And they eventually trace it to these new windows.
Oh, man, I'm going to Vegas soon, too.
You should go check it out.
Oh, I'm going to see if I can. Yeah, it is summer. I'm going to be at Cosmopolitan, which is in the same city.
Oh,
center.
Yeah.
Can you get me the death ray package, please?
Yeah. Like, no, I can they? Will they let me cook an egg?
Oh. I don't know if you can cook an egg in the hotel.
Doesn't get hard.
But I wouldn't ask them exactly. I would just do it. And if it's
And they use this same, like there are solar power plants that use dishes.
Oh, to concentrate
specifically concentrate it on a point and then collect the energy there. Yeah.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
All right, we got one last segment. Colin, I'm shining it to you.
There's some light at the end of the tunnel here, Karen. All right, I have a music quiz for you guys.
Whoa!
In the spirit of light, I wanted to put together a themed music quiz. Any excuse I will take. This quiz is called Light Rock.
But it's not like adult contemporary, I'm guessing.
Contemporary. However, Chris, there are many layers to this quiz.
So
when you hear the phrase light rock, if you had to name a decade, what decade would you associate with light rock?
The 70s.
Yes, the 70s. Oh. Chris and I are on the same wavelength, at least. Okay. For me, at least, I consider the 70s is the light rock decade. So, in this quiz, all of the songs come from the 1970s.
Okay.
We
and,
get the wrong answer.
And further, every song in this quiz is connected somehow to the word light.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm helping you guys here.
It's like a lightception.
There you go, lightception. These are all big, big, big hits, all charted. Use your brains. I'm sure you guys have heard all of these before. Light Rock. So for all of these, I just need as an answer, who is the artist performing the song? Here we go. First track. Who is this artist? When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on. I think everybody on this one.
Journey.
It is Journey and the song Lights.
Lights. Lights go down in the city.
Yes.
Okay. Are they talking about San Francisco?
They are talking about San Francisco. I did, however, read that when he wrote the song originally, it was based on a song he wrote about Los Angeles. But after moving to San Francisco, he adapted it and it kind of seemed to work better.
Oh, that's
All right, here we go. Another track from 1978. Please tell me who is the artist. And be specific.
Ooh.
Okay.
I think Dana was first on the draw there. Dana.
Parliament.
It is Parliament. Yeah. Yes, yes. I would not have accepted Funkadelic. I would not have accepted George Clinton.
George Clinton. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Parliament. Flashlight.
Oh, that's what he said. Flashlight.
Yes.
Oh, I...
All right, moving right along. Who is this performer? Chris.
Is that Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers?
It is not Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
At first I thought it was because it's rambly. Like,
I like it.
Yeah, yeah, it is, but a little rambly.
This is not a one-hit wonder, right?
This is not a one-hit wonder. Certainly not. This song is definitely more famous performed by Manfred Mann, Earth Band. But this is not Manfred Mann. This is...
Hall & Oates?
Not Hall & Oates. This is performed by the man who wrote this song, Mr. Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen off of his first album, 1973. He was told to write a hit for the album.
Sure.
So this was one of the songs he wrote. And it was not a hit for him. No. It was a hit for Manfred Mann. Yeah. Blinded by the Light.
It's funny, the way he was singing it didn't sound like a radio song. Like, it wasn't catchy enough.
Yeah. But like, he wasn't really on beat. Yeah. It was just kind of random.
It is very jangly compared to the Manfred Mann version.
It sounded nice, but jangly.
1973 for that one. Mm. All right, here we go. 1975, one of the biggest hits of 1975. Who is this artist?
How's it related to
Lemonade? Chris. Yeah, how is it related? Good question, Karen. I need a buzzer here. Chris buzzed in.
Gordon Lightfoot.
It is not Gordon Lightfoot.
It's Electric Light Orchestra.
Yes, Dana. ELO. Yeah, with Jeff Lynne there on vocals. Electric Light Orchestra.
I get Medieval Woman. Isn't there like a black magic
woman?
So,
Karen, I'm about to blow your mind. It's actually Evil Woman. It's
not medieval woman.
Yeah.
Is that an egg corn?
Evil Woman.
Black Magic,
Black Magic Woman,
Woman by Santana. Yeah.
And then American Woman. There's a lot, it's like all in that era.
It's true. You're right.
Black Magic Woman was by Fleetwood Mac. covered by Santana.
Oh, snap.
You just got trivia.
I think we have a blinded by the light scenario there.
Yeah,
yes, as made famous by Santana, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, Evil Woman, ELO.
ELO.
Medieval Woman would be a good song, though.
I was like, how specific? But nothing they're talking about is particularly medieval.
Yeah.
But okay.
The extended cut of the song.
I believed you. I heard it too.
It does sound like it. Yeah. I'm sure you're not the only one.
Mondegreen.
All right. A couple more here. Here we go. We're getting a little tricky now. Who was this a hit for?
Oh. They keep things loose. They keep things alive. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight. Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody dancing in the moonlight. We like our phone and we never. We have entered the one hit wonder portion of the quiz. Anyone? Anyone?
I've never heard of this song.
I have a guess.
Yeah, go ahead. Throw it out there.
It's not them. 10 CCs?
No.
That's, I'm not in love.
Yeah, this is Dancing in the Moonlight, one of the biggest hits of the
70s. Yeah. So good.
King Harvest.
Whoa.
King Harvest. They all came, right. They had the song, and that was their hit.
They told us that there would be
Dancing in the Moonlight.
You might dance in the moonlight at the King Harvest.
Oh, party. Yeah. It's a pagan.
That's kind of how I imagined it, too.
Yeah.
Okay. It was such a good harvest that you're still dancing.
For the king.
All right, last one. Not only one of the biggest hits of the 1970s, this is one of the biggest hits of all time. Who is this artist? Dana.
Dusty Springfield?
No. Not Dusty Springfield.
You light up my light. Oh, man. I'm going to kick myself because it's, I know.
You
it's
want
such
a hint?
An iconic song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a singer who has a famous singer for a father. This song.
Is it Boone?
Yes.
Yes.
You got a first name?
Debbie Boone.
This song, it was number one for 10 weeks. It is still to this day one of the top 10 singles of all time. The biggest hit of the 1970s. Huh. You Light Up My Life, Debbie Boone.
It doesn't stand up that well.
But it does fit into light rock.
It's super boring to listen to.
Yes. So it was a song from a movie, but she didn't perform the movie version. She did not sing the soundtrack version. Her cover was hands down hit. All right. Well, good job. We got some good knowledge there for future trivia rounds, I think.
Yeah.
You guys acquitted yourselves well for not being alive in the 1970s.
That's true. Yeah. I was
thank
not.
You. I was not
for
alive.
Pointing that out.
No.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Yep. You're right.
Yeah. Good job, us.
Yeah.
We were negative years old then. Cool. All right. And that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Thanks for your patience. Finally, we're recording new episodes. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on Spotify. We're on the new the new mobile Spotify. Now they're podcasts, so we're in there. So a whole bunch of other awesome shows are available as well. And of course, on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.